Enthusiasm illumines the soul. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California. This is our instant inspiration. Enthusiasm illumines the soul. How many of you have enthusiasm? Well, enthusiasm is a joy of doing something, a joy of living in a happy way, a joy of doing a job that you enjoy doing, a joy of walking a path that you enjoy walking. Enthusiasm is where your heart just jumps for joy. It just is as happy as can be over everything. Now, how can we have enthusiasm illumine the soul? Well, when you are enthusiastic about life, you are living life the way it was meant to be lived. Life is meant to be lived to be yourself and have fun. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Be yourself and have fun. And if you're not yourself and having fun, then you're not living. And being yourself and having fun is pure enthusiasm. Because you're not doing it to appeal to anybody else. You're not doing it to make anybody else happy. You're not doing it to make yourself happy. You're just doing it because it comes naturally. It becomes natural. Ellen has always been a bubble for us. She'd say, "Oh boy, did you see this? Hey, this is so super, this is so wonderful." And we all look and say, "What's she talking about?" You know, she's got her bubble going and her enthusiasm going, and we haven't caught up yet. And then after she points out what she's enthusiastic about, then we say, "Ah, yes, I can see where you're enthusiastic about that. That's a good idea." Okay, but how does enthusiasm illumine the soul? How does it sparkle our inner self? How does it make us feel good about ourselves? How does it make us feel that we are wonderful people? Well, it makes us feel that we are wonderful people when we like ourselves. Liking ourselves is one of the first steps to enthusiasm. Mm. And when you like yourself, you can do anything. Now, Ellen made a comment today. She said, "I love that person, but I don't like them." Now, when Ellen made that comment, she was saying that she did not want to have anything to do with that person that she didn't like. She loved them. She accepted them exactly the way they are, but she did not want to have anything to do with them. Now, how could an enthusiastic person ever create anyone in their world that they don't want to have something to do with? How could they do that? They couldn't. So Ellen really did not mean what she said. She did not mean that she loves that person, but she doesn't like them. She means she loves that person and she likes that person. Now, why does she say she loves that person and likes that person? In my words, of course. But why does she say that? She says that because she created that person in her life doing exactly what they're doing. Now, Paul is in the process of considering becoming a deputy sheriff. And he says, "I am going to become a deputy sheriff, and I am going to create in my work as a deputy sheriff harmonious circumstances, harmonious experiences. I'm going to create harmonious people. I'm going to create nonviolent," he doesn't use the word nonviolent, "but I'm going to create happy people, enthusiastic people, illumined people." Now, what in the world do we need a sheriff for if everything is a happy time? Well, a sheriff is like the big stick that Theodore Roosevelt told us about many years ago. He says, "Walk light, but carry a big stick." The big stick is just a reminder to the world that there is a law and there is a force encouraging you to follow the law. And when children are taught that they don't have to follow the law, when they are taught that they don't have to do one thing or another, then they don't do it. And when mothers and fathers are so stupid, are so idiotic, as to say to their children, "If you don't behave, I'm going to get a cop after you. I'm going to take you down to the police department. They'll put you in the jail." I mean, that is one of the most terrible things that you could ever say to a child. Because, number one, he now does not respect the principle. He doesn't respect law and order. He doesn't respect the minions of the law. He doesn't respect what it is that keeps his country in a harmonious way. We here at the campus here in Campo, California, we have the Mexican border a mile away. And we have the international travelers going through our property quite regularly. We don't see them very often, happily. And the Border Patrol comes around here and puts on a show. They look for these Mexicans who are coming across the border. They're searching for them diligently. We walk along, we see their path, and we say, my gosh, all they got to do is sit right here, and they're walking right in front of them, you know. My dad took me up deer hunting one time, remember? And he sat me on a stump, and he said, now you stand here, and there's lots of deer that'll come right by on this trail, and he gave me the gun with slugs in it so that I could shoot a deer. Well, I wasn't interested in shooting a deer. So I had my camera, and I shot the deer with my camera. And my dad came by a couple hours later, and he says, what is this? Look, here is a buck trail. Here is a buck, a doe, and three fawns. And here's, didn't you see them? And I said, badoo, you know. He said, were you sleeping? I guess so, you know. But, you know, he wanted me to shoot those things. But I didn't create them to be shot. I created them to be photographed and to be loved and to be seen with joy. Now, my dad loved to go deer hunting, and he'd bring home the deer, and we'd chop up the venison, and he'd pass it around to all the relatives, and we'd have a little bit in our house. And after a few weeks or so forth, it was all gone. And he had taken the deer skin, and he had the hide tanned and so forth. And then I was with my little friends at Menominee, in the Menominee Indian Reservation back in Milwaukee there, and I would take part of the hide and, you know, the nice tanned leather and make myself a little Indian garment, you know. And so I would wear that. And I was really dressed better than any of the Indians there. And I had the real thing. But all the work my dad went through to get that hide and to catch that little bit of venison, but he was after me to shoot him, and I couldn't shoot him. I had no desire to. So I just had fun. I created the deer to be enjoyed. I created the animals to be just be a thrill in my life, not to shoot them. And so this is what Paul is going to do, our little eagle here. He is going to be a deputy sheriff. And he's going to be one of the finest deputy sheriffs in the country. He's going to be a deputy sheriff who has served as a deputy sheriff for however many years, 20, 40, 50, 100 years, and never drew his gun. And everyone who saw him instantly shaked up, because that's how he conceived of everyone wherever he was called to bring peace and order to an activity. He walked in the door. And he didn't even have to announce him, the sheriff. He's got a big badge on him. But he walks in the door, and everybody instantly jumps in their chair and sits down quietly. Nothing's wrong. Everything's in order. You know? And he says, that's the way I like to see it. Now, I'm going to go outside here and have a cigarette. I don't smoke cigarettes, but I'm going to go outside here and have a cigarette. And if you have anything to discuss, discuss it now while I'm nearby. And I'll just be your balancer, and I see all in harmony here, all in peace. And lady, you got some blood on your face. Go in the bathroom and wash it off. And so she comes out of the bathroom all washed up, and you forgot to comb your hair. And so then she combs her hair, and Officer Paul says, you are a gorgeous-looking woman. I can see why all these men here think that you're so wonderful, you know. And, you know, brings peace and harmony and happiness. And instead of her threatening all the world because somebody slapped her a little hard, she realized she brought it on herself. And that when the officer came there, when Officer Paul came there, all was in peace and all was in harmony and all was in light. Now that's enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. That illumines the soul. Mm-hmm. That shines forth wherever Officer Paul goes. And this is what his choice is. Now, what's your choice? Are you Practitioner Ingeborg?
Yes, I am.
Are you Practitioner Ellen?
Yes.
Are you practitioner Paul?
Yes.
Are you practitioner Sylvia?
Yes.
Now, what does a practitioner do?
Heal thyself.
A practitioner first looks at themselves and sees himself without judgment, and then looks at the other individual who's come to them for work, and sees that person not needing anything, seeing them whole and perfect, and experiencing that balance right now. That's why the courses of the University of Healing are going to be so beneficial to you as you work in your share of activity, because it teaches you balance, harmony, peace, joy, abundance, and everything good. It's fantastic. It's how to use the law of cause and effect. Have you had that little publication of ours? It's a little pamphlet, how to use the law of cause and effect. Probably not. We'll have to see if you get a copy. Have we got extra copies? Yeah. Because in the law of cause and effect, how to use the law of cause and effect, it's so simple, but it points out that there is one cause, one law, and that law is the law that governs our lives. And it's the law that whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we do, that's who we are. We live in a pretty fantastic, fancy world, and we're doing utterly fantastic things. And you can see how enthusiasm illumines the soul, because each one of you have become a better practitioner because you're enthusiastic about your work. You're not enthusiastic about the people who call up and their illness. You're enthusiastic about their desire for wholeness. And you see them whole and perfect, and you tell them, I see you whole and perfect. Well, I see you dancing with the president. I don't even know the president. That doesn't matter. I see you dancing with him. You know, I see you doing all these wonderful things. And then that's all we have to say. We put the cause in motion, and the miracle takes place after that. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But don't let yourself be limited by what you think is happening. And always think of the person that you're dealing with, and yourself, about 1,000 times better than how they appear to be. And you'll be a miracle worker, because they will rise to whatever you expect from them. Mm-hmm. And they will enjoy whatever you expect from them. You see them whole and perfect? Hey, you're whole and perfect. Now breathe deep. Let all out. Come on. Once again, 3 times. All out. Now, don't you feel wonderful? Put your shoulders back, your head up. You're talking on the phone to the person. And they follow it. And, yeah, I do feel better. Well, keep it up. That's the enthusiasm that illumines the soul. Have a wonderful day. I love you very much.